You said a curious thing the other day when we were on the phone. And I almost reacted, but then I thought, I'm going to save it for the show.
What was it?
You were talking to me and you were like, yeah, me and Maddie were at the lake and we were on a jet ski together. And I almost was like, did you throw her off of it? And then I was like, I'm gonna wait. I'm going to save that. My guess is that piloting a jet ski with your wife, you drove in a completely different manner than you did with Rob and Jeff.
Yeah. I have rules. No, I'm gentle with my wife on the jet ski. We jumped a few wakes, but didn't go very fast. We had a lot of fun, though. It's fun because we'll go, our friends Will and Kim Reed have a lake house, like, I don't know, like 0.2 miles down, like upstream of where my in-laws' place is. And we just pulled up there and their whole family is out there. And we just pulled up and I was like, I yelled at Kim and she said, park that jet ski and come eat.
She just had food ready.
Yeah, it was Father's Day and there was just like their entire family there, you know? Every son, yeah. Every wife, every kid. And she was like, park that jet ski and come eat. It's like, we got to go eat with...
That's the most American sentence I've ever heard in my entire
life.
Yeah,
it's too American. Sheesh.
Gosh. Well, what our listeners don't know is that after the episode where we talked about you throwing Rob and Jeff from the jet ski, that you and Rob had like a pretty wild voice text exchange. And I was included in it for some reason, like even though it was clearly a private conversation where you and Rob had to have a come to Jesus meeting about the jet ski.
It was entirely an act.
And you were very unrepentant.
No, yeah, I still am unapologetic. We're clear, or the air is clear.
I just think that if Rob could have seen the way you handle a jet ski when Maddie's on it instead of when he's on it, I think he would have been offended.
You know, I don't want to start anything again with Rob. So I'm going to watch my tongue right now.
But there's things you want to say so bad.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into it again. We're two dear friends.
I feel like I'm Jeff right now, just stirring it up.
Yeah, you are for sure. Jeff's Twitter bio should be, I like to pull the pin on a frag grenade, drop it in a conversation, and walk away.
Walk away slowly like an action hero?
Yeah.
Not even looking at the explosion?
That's Jeff's like instigator. That should be his Twitter handle.
Just the instigator.
The instigator. That is Jeffrey Mason to
bio,
a T.
Frag out.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Welcome to Ancient and New.
This is the early morning version where we're like still trying to wake up.
Well, on my way up here this morning, I drove past what we affectionately at this church call the carport crew, which is...
Oh, were they working out?
All the people that work out at Andy Morgan's house. And some days they do a thing called the farmer's walk where they get really heavy objects and they just carry them half a mile and then carry them half a mile back. And that half mile is up here to this building. And so I'm driving up. I've got my window down because it just feels good outside. And there's Sam Fox. And I'm just like, oh, cool. I'm going to wave at Sam. But immediately he goes, farmer's walk. Get out here. I'm like, no, 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 no.
No, thanks.
No, I got to go do
a thing. Are they up here?
I'm sure they were. Yeah. They were on their way back down.
What time do they start that thing?
I believe they show up at 6. Mm.
Ooh.
Yeah. My favorite thing about the carport crew is that when new people join, these are early morning like CrossFit workouts that a guy from our church hosts. When new people have tried to join the group, kind of like a rite of passage is that first workout, Andy kind of burns them and they wind up like on all fours puking in his front yard. That's just amazing.
No, thanks.
I remember the first time Travis Davis went to one of the workouts, and as soon as we were done, he was walking towards his car, and Andy cuffed me and goes, "Don't let him drive yet." He did not look good.
Dude, don't let him drive yet. Travis and I used to go at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Because he's like, "I can't go that early." I was like, "Okay."
It's fantastic. Do you want to start us today? Sure, you have something?
Yeah, I do.
We're going to talk about some scriptures.
What if I said no right there?
Yeah, no, I don't have anything.
No.
We're going to talk about some scriptures and just, yeah, how they've been hitting us, encouraging us, challenging us, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the show anyway.
Yeah, typically. That's the standard version. That's the standard version. This is early.
Are you okay?
I'm great. I've been up for almost an hour and a half, but it just still feels early right now.
Is this a
new
character of you, like early Tom?
Well, I'm like 2 weeks into a new... This is my second week of like a new schedule for myself. Mm-hmm. Like I'm getting up at much earlier and usually going to the gym before work.
You might have gotten up before I did today then if you've been up for an hour and a half, because I've been having a hard time getting up because now that there's just no... like the summer schedule for mm-hmm. teenagers, like my kids are up so late. Mm. And so it's just harder and harder for me to wake up early. Where are you taking us?
That's funny. I don't have an outlet near my nightstand. So my phone is across the room.
Yeah.
So when my alarm goes off, I have to get up out of bed. And
so you're up.
I'm up, but I also hit snooze a couple times.
Just walk back to the bed.
Well, I bring it with me. Maddie's like, "Is it gonna go off again? Is it gonna make that horrible noise?" It's really funny. Okay, yeah, this is a psalm. This is from Psalm 141.
Okay.
You know, I was only gonna read one part, but I think I'm gonna back it up just a little bit. I'm gonna start in verse 3. It says, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds, along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat their delicacies." Then it says, "Let a righteous man strike me. That is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head. My head will not refuse it, for my prayer will still be against the deeds of evildoers." Man, I looked up the word strike just to make sure I knew what it was. And it, like, the definition of it in the original language is to smite.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like we've all been waiting for the Lord to smite somebody. Yeah, it's like,
for some reason, when I hear the word smite, the first place my mind goes is to the Monty Python and the Holy Grail and the scene where they're about to fight the rabbit and they're going to use the holy hand grenade, and they're reading like the scripture about the holy hand grenade. It's like, "That thou might smite thine enemies in thy mercy."
It's amazing. I think of Bruce Almighty. When, what's his name? Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey, yeah.
Just says, "Smite me, O great smiter." But I thought that was funny because I've been reading this book about, it's kind of, the premise of it is, the title of it is God Behaving Badly. And it looks at all these things right in the Old Testament where people would say God is different from God in the New Testament. And he quotes that book, which is just funny to me. But I don't know. I honestly, the thing I really wanted to look at was verse 5 when it says, "Let a righteous man strike me down. That is kindness. Let him rebuke me. That is oil on my head." Mm. I don't think, you know, that's a hard thing to agree with. Not agree with, but it's a hard thing to let happen. It's a hard thing to let someone say, to let someone rebuke you. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough to do. But scripturally, it's a good thing. It's oil on my head. That's the thing that would happen when the king was anointed. Like,
wow.
Let me pour some oil on your head so everyone knows who you are.
Which,
you know,
was there like, that was like, yes, it was how they anointed the king, but it was also kind of like their like shampoo.
Oh,
you know, this was like, you put oil on your head, like keep your hair from smelling like that. Like, you'd bathe yourself, but it's like you put oil in your head, like fragrant oil. Maybe like slick their hair back and stuff, like in The Godfather or something. But it's like cool. But the idea there is like, this is like, It's like hygiene. It's like refreshing. It's like, now I'm ready for the day.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, like the idea that you would let somebody rebuke you, and now I'm ready to go face the world.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm like clean and fresh as a daisy and ready to roll.
Yeah. It's funny, but there's places like this throughout the Bible where it's saying, hey, you need to be corrected by someone. You need to be told to think differently. You need to be told you're wrong about something. Mm-hmm. And a big part of that is taking it and saying, okay, instead of pushing back and being defensive, you know, like, and none of that is natural to us, but it's biblical to have someone wiser than you. Or, I mean, like, I guess it says a righteous man, but it doesn't necessarily say like someone who's further along than you, you know, like maybe it's your friend who is like calling you out on something. And I just brought this up because this doesn't really happen today.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think it's a sign of a godly person to let someone rebuke you, to let someone say, hey, you need to fix that. Hey, that's not right. Hey, you should think differently about that. And then to do it and not fight them and not put the boxing gloves on automatically, you know, because it's a sign of growth and maturity and a healthy walk with the Lord. And I think it's something that people should look for more in their life.
Yeah. And I mean, and I like how you're kind of laser focused on verse 5, but I think there's a connection back in verse 3 where it says, set a guard over the door of my lips, mm-hmm. you know, like the idea that if I'm going to get to the place where I am welcoming a rebuke from someone, I'm going to have to get some reps at that thing. I'm going to have to get some reps at the idea of, hey, Lord, don't let me just say whatever I want all the time. Don't let me just like spout and spew and just like, I just let it fly. Whatever I think, I say.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be more measured about the things that I allow to come out of my face. I like the visual picture of like setting a guard at the door of your lips. Like I think a thought and then the bouncer at the door of my lips is like, nope, you don't get to go. You got to stay right inside here.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a who goes there type of attitude. Yeah. And it's like, obviously it's like, think before you speak. It's like such a basic thing, but it's like, there's a place at which people feel, especially these days, like with, you know, just with like Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that, people feel pretty free to just let it roll.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of the connection between these two things, that the more I get reps in like asking the Lord to set a guard over my lips, that the more I would be good at saying to not just people who are ahead of me in the walk, but like anybody that has a heart for God to say like, tell me what you think and stand up to me and I won't refuse it. Like, yeah. I love how it says that. Is that, that's in verse 5 too, right? Yeah. Let him rebuke me. It's oil in my head. My head will not refuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't. I liked how you said boxing gloves. Like, I won't immediately say, oh, it's on now.
Right.
I think there's a thing that happens inside me when somebody brings a correction where immediately I can feel all my defenses.
Right.
Arraying themselves for battle. They're getting in formation. Mm-hmm. They're loading weapons, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a real, like, it's real heavy lifting to say, stand down, everybody. We're going to take this.
Right. I don't want this whole thing, people could be rolling their eyes like, oh, you're so holy to tell me about this. Oh. And I'm like, wait, no, this is the premise of our show. This kicked my butt this week. Therefore, I showed it. You know, this was not like a, hey, look at this thing I'm awesome at. This was a, wow, this, a lot of times things stand out to me because the Lord's rubbing my nose in it and saying, hey, man, this one's for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what the case with this one.
I mean, one of the biggest things that I had to learn when I got married was like if Christy brings a conversation into my world where she's like, hey, this is something that I want us to work on or change or grow in. If I immediately say, but yesterday I did this and the week before that I did that. And it's my first instinct to say, that thing that you want to happen, I'm already doing that in these ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I want us to spend more time together, but yesterday we went on a walk. You know, that if I immediately say that, then what I'm actually saying to her is the way you're feeling right now, I am devalidating it. I'm devalidating your parking. Like you don't have the right to feel that way. Mm-hmm. Rather than just taking it and saying, cool, what could we change this week to make you feel like we're making some progress on that? Mm-hmm. Which that second thing makes it feel validated. And it's like, and that was like the hardest thing for me to grow in and learn in when we first got married, and like, and I still screw it up. Mm-hmm. Like almost 19 years later.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's probably, yeah.
All that to say, like, I'm with you. Like, this is not something I'm awesome at this.
No, this is hard. That's a hard thing. It's a hard concept to grasp. I know I'm saying I wish this was easy for me. I wish it was second nature, you know?
Right.
I wish I was asking for this more, you know? Like, I wish I was asking people in my life.
Yeah.
What do you see?
Just strike me down.
Yeah, smite me.
I'm going to look at something from Jeremiah chapter 40.
He was a bullfrog.
That's Thomas's laugh. That means he kind of cracked himself up.
Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 40. For the entire book of Jeremiah, this prophet has been saying to people, the Babylonians are coming and they're going to burn our country and they're going to kick us out. What?
I just thought of Paul Revere saying the Babylonians are coming instead of the British are coming.
Just riding around.
What if you just read Jeremiah and it just was a Freudian slip? The British are coming. That could have happened. Who knows?
Just in the middle of the night in Boston. Just
the Babylonians are coming. What? I mean, the British.
And why do we wear these tights? Oh, wow. So for the whole book, he's been saying, like, they're coming. They're going to burn this place down. Other false prophets have risen up, and they're like, no, it's not going to happen. It's going to be amazing. And finally, like, they show up. The commander of the army is a guy called Nebuzaradan. Or Nebuzaradan. I don't know how you would say it, but I'm saying Nebuzaradan.
I think it's pronounced Nebuchadnezzar. I'm just kidding. Sorry. That was, yeah.
Both the king and the general were named after one of their gods.
Nebuzaradan.
Yeah, Nebo.
Nebo.
And yeah, that was like in their name. And he basically, this general, because God has said, I'm sending this army to kick you guys out of this country and to make you captives and take you back to their own country. And you're going to live there for 70 years. And, cause you blew it. So you don't get to live here. My land is going to get the rest that you did not give it. Every 7 years, they were supposed to let the land rest for 1 year. They never did it. So for 490 years, they didn't do it. And God was like, guess what? It's pay up time.
You had your chance.
And my land is going to get the 70 years of rest you didn't give it. And so they show up. This general finds out that the king of Israel just had gotten so, and all of his advisors had gotten so sick of hearing from Jeremiah, they just locked him up. And they, I gave you the one without the switch. Were you looking for the switch?
Yeah.
Just to make sure your mic was on.
Yeah.
I got you, pal. Okay, sorry, that was a parenthesis for me and Thomas, listeners.
Production
moment. Production gaffe. They found out that Jeremiah had been locked up, so this dude goes to release him. And, like, God had sent these people. So this Babylonian invading general has, like, a word from the Lord. He says, When the commander of the guard found Jeremiah, he said to him, "The Lord your God decreed this disaster for this place, and now the Lord has brought it about. He has done just as he said he would." And that sentence, "He has done just as he said he would," it was this moment that captured me in this chapter, that God has done just as he said he would. And in this instance, that was for the people of Israel, that was like a whoa. It was bad for them. He totally warned them for a long, 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 long time. And it could have gone better if the king had listened to Jeremiah, which he totally did not. But just this line, "He has done just as he said he would." And this in my kind of personal scripture reading falls in line exactly with, I just started reading the book of Hebrews, mm-hmm. which like there's an interesting bookend in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, he's talking about, or the writer of Hebrews, whoever it was talking about Jesus and prophecies and what the Old Testament said about Jesus. And one of them was that like he had made the world, he made the heavens and the earth and the stars and the plant, you know, everything, but that he was going to roll them up like an old garment and change them. Like they were going to go away. And he said, "But you remain the same forever." Mm-hmm. Like Jesus, this whole planet and the universe and everything is going to, like, it's going to end in the way it is now, but you will never, and you'll always be the same. And then in Hebrews 13, the last chapter of Hebrews, it says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." These are like that idea is like the bookends, the beginning and the end of the book of Hebrews is like, Jesus is always going to be and always has been exactly like he is. And that made me, that was like a callback for me for this verse where this invading general says to Jeremiah, "Your God has done exactly what he said he would." And I'm just thinking about like, Jesus is the same as he always was back in the days of the Babylonian captivity. He's the same for us now. He'll always be the same. And he'll always do exactly what he said he would. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. He said he would forgive our sins. He said he would call us. He calls us his friend. Like all the, it's like for in this moment for the Israelites, this was a hard word that God has done exactly what he said he would do. Mm. For us, and for me this morning, it wasn't this morning when I read this, but the morning that I read this was like, this is such an encouraging thing that like, I can count on him being the exact same for every single day of my life and that he's going to do exactly what he said that he would do.
That's cool. It gives me a thing to hold on to and to just keep in my back pocket when I'm reading his words, you know, anywhere in the scripture. I see something that the Lord says, I'm like, that hasn't happened yet or may happen, or, you know, that will happen or has happened. It's a thing to be grateful for. It's a thing to look forward to. It's all those things. I think that's such a helpful thing when you're reading the Gospels and when you look at the words of Jesus and when you're reading Paul's letters and you look at things he's talking about that are going to happen or that should happen or whatever the thing is. I love that this word came from some random dude.
Yeah.
I love that.
Who's like not even a believer in the Lord.
Exactly. Right? That is so cool. Have you ever had something like that happen where you are like in a conversation or something happened and you're like, "Oh my gosh, that was
what?"
Yeah. It's just like wait, I didn't expect that. But it felt like the Lord was just like, "Hey, hi, I'm going to use this person today because you weren't listening otherwise."
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, like I tried here. You didn't hear it. I tried there. You didn't hear it. So I'm going to use this guy or this girl or that thing or whatever the thing is.
Right.
And I'm not talking about like you drive down the street and you see a billboard that says like quotes and then like dash God or whatever. But like,
No.
But
those things are usually horrible.
Yeah. They're call 1-800-TRUTH. Or whatever the thing
that's
is.
That's the one about cigarettes.
Oh, is it?
But there is the one that, you know, there's the one when you're driving through Indiana that's just like, hell is real.
Yeah, and the other side is like, so is heaven. Or it's like, it like downplays heaven.
Yeah, as far as a like branding and a marketing campaign, let's. Yeah.
It's like hell is real. Also, you may be driving through it right now, cornfield,
because you're in Indiana.
But I sometimes that happens to me where it's very clearly the Lord is like snapping his fingers in my face, and he uses somewhere or something I did not expect to do it.
Yeah,
and it's kind of cool because, like, obviously they haven't listened in forever, and here like the Lord uses this jabroni, you know, just like out of nowhere, who like doesn't know him, as a mouthpiece, and it's like a highlighter, you know, like this.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
has to stand out. If I'm going to use someone who doesn't live with y'all, who doesn't speak like you do, who
right.
isn't one of my people to get your attention, I guess I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, it's almost like this guy just becomes a microphone. It's mm-hmm. like the Lord is like, is this yeah. thing on? And then just like, he's like, just speaks through them.
Yeah.
The Lord has done exactly as he said he would.
Right.
You're like, whoa.
Right. Did you ever see the Simpsons movie?
No.
What?
I know. I watched so much Simpsons, but I don't think I actually watched the movie of the Simpsons.
Oh. Okay.
So did that just fall right there?
Well, yeah. I was going to... It happens with Homer's dad.
Abraham Simpson?
Yeah. He has like a... He has like a moment where he like tells... He has a prophecy in the middle of it.
Really?
Yeah. He just like says some stuff and they're like... Huh. And then Homer connects the dots later. It's funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
You know, it's just a cool thing of the Lord getting, like you said, just getting Jeremiah's attention. And the word is, hey, God does exactly what he says he's going to do. He's yeah. the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. Like our Lord, if he said a thing, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I just think that's a sweet and a comforting thing because he has said a lot of stuff that I definitely want him to keep cashing in on.
Right. And that's a thing too, that that's an easy thing to remember. Not in the sense that it's easy to practice,
yeah.
but when you're feeling something where something's not the way you want it to be or how you think it should be, or like how scripture says it should be or whatever the thing is, you can put that in your back pocket and say, well, he promises isn't going to be this way forever. And
yes,
he promises I'm not going to feel this way forever. And, okay. Like not that that changes your immediate feelings and not to downplay it, but it is a helpful thing to think about in the middle of hard stuff. And like when you can't remember other things, when you can't pull a scripture from Isaiah or whatever the place is. And if you're just not there yet, you can remember, the Lord follows through on the things he says he's going to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's cool.
That is cool. Well said.
Thanks.
If we were to go on a jet ski, would I get the Rob treatment or the Maddie treatment?
Rob.
Even though I'm like your elder, like I'm an old man.
Yes. It's so fun.
You would just sling me around.
Those things are like roll proof. Like they don't flip over. So that's the promise you have to hold on to when you're riding them. Like, you're not going to get up and it's going to be upside down. You're going to get up and that jet ski is going to be about 10 yards away from you and you can swim over to it and climb back on it.
Oh my gosh.
It's really fun. There's this thing you can do where you turn it really sharply and gas it really fast
yeah.
and it'll dip you under the water and bring you back up.
So fun.
And it just throws water all over you. I did do that to Maddie.
Oh, I'm Lee.
I'm Thomas.
This has been Ancient and New.
Are you hungry and naked and poor? Distressed and tormented, forlorn? In Christ is a suitable store for all that unto him come. He's bread and he's water and wine, the treasure you're longing to find. Cease your own efforts and fly to Christ, the fountain of hope. Jesus, the source of life. sought all they promised I'd gain. They robbed me and bound me with chains. Christ, you are all that I have. Jesus, the source of life, Savior of deaf and blind, come rescue me from the sin where I dwell. Come rescue me from myself. He makes broken hearts to rejoice. He calls in his own, know his voice. Christ, there is unending joy for all that.